Hey everyone, this is Jordan from sleeklens.com, and welcome to this episode that is going to be all about the basics when it comes to photography. Now, I covered an episode like this a long time ago where I basically talked about kind of what shutter speed was, because there was a really, really neat question that came in from a viewer or a listener of the podcast, and they had a question just about getting started with photography. So actually, over the past week or so, I've actually gotten a lot of questions about actually how to get out of automatic mode on your camera. And so I thought about, you know, there's easy ways to do that, obviously, but the easiest way is to actually understand the exposure triangle. So I wanted to cover that in this particular episode. I'm going to kind of quickly run through the exposure triangle, the aperture, the ISO, and the shutter speed, and talk about exactly what those mean and how they affect your photo. All right, so let's talk about probably the easiest one first. This will be one that gets in and out of your mind. You'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. And the easiest one to understand is shutter speed. So obviously, speed, when you hear the word shutter speed, that means how fast something is moving. So in your camera, in most cameras, there is what's called a curtain. And a curtain basically reveals the scene to the sensor that is in your camera. The sensor is actually the piece of equipment in your camera that actually captures the data, captures the scene that you're looking at. And so it will reveal the scene, basically like a door that opens and closes. Now, if you were to open the door and reveal, let's say you're going to reveal somebody running down a field, if you're going to open that door and you really want to freeze them, you have to make that door open and close very, very fast. That means you're freezing the motion of somebody running down the field, like we just said. So you want to freeze that motion. So that is actually how you were to, running down a field, a car whizzing by really fast. That is actually how you freeze somebody in action. You have a very, very, very fast shutter speed. And the shutter speed is actually represented by kind of a fraction number on the back of your camera. So if you see a 1/1000th, that means it's 1/1000th of a second that the door is open and closing, revealing the scene. That is a very fast shutter speed, and it will let in a lot less light, which I'll talk about in just a second, but that will allow in a lot less light, but it will freeze whatever motion that is there. So that is a really quick way of doing that. If you're going to freeze somebody, you want to try to be roughly around 500/1000th of a second, somewhere around there. If you're going to freeze action, you can go higher, obviously, but you need more light. So let's go jump into that part of it as well. When you're talking about letting in more or less light, photography is all about light. You need light to kind of see a scene, to develop your scene. So if you were to, again, do that kind of experiment where we have somebody running down the field and we have a 1/1000th of a second shutter speed, we need to make sure that we have a lot of light. If you're doing this during the day, most likely you're going to be fine, because the sun is really bright outside. There's obviously a lot of light coming in, and so we're probably getting 1/1000th of a speed, 1/1000th of a shutter speed is probably fairly easy. But let's say you're inside, you're in a living room or something like that, and it's sort of a dimmer situation. Having a 1/1000th shutter speed is you can technically set your camera to that speed, but most likely, unless your other settings are set accordingly, you're not going to be able to get enough light to come in your camera, and your picture will probably be just black. It'll be no data was basically recorded off of that scene. So that's the very long explanation of what shutter speed is. But basically, if you were to have a very fast shutter speed, you're actually going to freeze motion, freeze somebody jumping in air. But if you have a lower shutter speed, maybe a 30th of a second or a 5th of a second or something like that, you're going to actually show motion. That's a really easy way of kind of determining what to show. So if you want to have the waterfall, the water running kind of thing that we always see in landscape photos, if you want to have that scene, you want to have that waterfall running, you want to show the motion of the water, set your shutter speed to a longer shutter speed. Okay, so that was the bare basics of shutter speed. Obviously, you can go into a lot of different things when it comes to shutter speed, but that is the bare basics of it. So now let's jump into another section of the exposure triangle, and that is ISO. That one's probably going to be another easy one as well. So ISO is actually an acronym that stands for International Standards or organization. And what that means is basically just an organization that sets the sensitivity of things, which is kind of a boring job if you ask me. But the ISO in a camera sense is actually the measurement of how sensitive your sensor is. So you're going to see in the ISO, if you set your ISO to, let's say, 100, that's probably going to be on the lower end of the spectrum, which means that your camera is not going to be as sensitive to light as it would be if you set it higher. So usually they double in speed, which ISO is sometimes typically revert into speed, but it's basically doubled in speed. So basically if you set your ISO to 100, your next option on a lot of different cameras go in between this, but usually it goes from 100, 200, 400, 800, 1600, 3200, 6400, and on and on and on. So usually in entry-level DSLRs, you will see that kind of doubling of the amount. And as you double that amount, your camera is getting more and more sensitive to light. It's getting double sensitive to the light as the previous number. So again, I mentioned 100 as far as the ISO. That's going to be not very sensitive to light at all, which is really great for scenes that are already bright. Again, we use that scene of somebody running down the field. If it's in daytime, 100 is probably the one you need to set it to, because you don't need your camera to be as sensitive to light because you already have a lot of light. But if you are in that indoor situation, you need to have more light in your camera. So you probably want to take your ISO and bump it up. So maybe bump it up to 800, 1600, somewhere around there. And what that's doing is making your sensor in your camera more sensitive to light, so that way you can properly expose your scene and make sure your scene is not either too dark or too light. So a lot of people actually ask when I talk about ISO, why not keep your camera at a higher ISO all the time? Because that way you don't have to worry about setting your ISO whenever you're going out to take photos. You can just keep it on one ISO and just be good to go and never have to touch it again. Well, there are drawbacks when it comes to setting your ISO up fairly high when you start getting to the higher numbers. And what you do is actually introduce noise into your scene. So noise is something a lot of people typically see, and it's actually kind of a grain, I really don't know how to explain it. It's kind of like a gray pixelization, I guess. But we all know what digital noise is. Some people will say that image is too noisy. And they're not actually talking about audio noise. They're talking about visual noise, where you can see a lot of grain in your images. Now, one way I've actually heard this explained to a lot of beginners, and this is a way that I've actually heard it when I was learning the exposure triangle a long time ago, is actually to envision the noise in your camera like the noise you would hear from the microphone that I'm talking in right now. So right now I'm talking at a fairly nice, nice distance away from the microphone. I'm about maybe 6 inches away from the microphone, and my voice is fairly clear. This would be considered ISO 100. This is a very clean image, a very clean sound that's coming from my voice. But if I were to go closer to the microphone like this, it's going to be very, very noisy. Now, I backed away just now, but it's going to be very noisy. It's probably not going to sound that great when I got real close to the microphone, and that would be considered a higher noise. It's moving the audio distortion in this WAV file that you're listening to, but that's what it kind of looks like on an image. It's very noisy. So that is the reason why you don't want to set your ISO to a higher ISO all the time, because you don't want to introduce that noise into your image if you don't have to. Obviously, if you're shooting at a dimmer situation, you probably, in order to get the photo, you probably need to set your ISO higher, and you can actually take a little bit of that noise out using Lightroom, Photoshop, whatever it is. But that, you want to make sure you have as clean image as possible when you're shooting. So now let's talk about aperture. Aperture is probably going to be the one that a lot of people have a struggle with, because they know the effect they want to achieve, but they don't know how to achieve it with the aperture while also compensating for all of the other elements that are out there. So let's talk about aperture here real quick. So first of all, aperture is basically the opening and closing of the inside of the lens. which lets in less light or more light to your camera. And this is usually represented as a number, like an F number on the back of your camera. So you might see F8, F4, F2.8, F22, something like that. And those are all values of how open or closed the blades inside of your camera are to let in more or less light. So one of the trickier elements when it comes to this is, what does that number represent? So let's say you have your camera set to F22. That's a very, very high aperture. And what that means is that the opening, when you take a picture, when you snap the shutter button, the opening in your lens will close down to a very, very, very small, tiny hole. And this is going to let hardly any amount of light into your camera. This means that you have to be in a very bright situation. Again, a very bright day, you probably can get away with shooting F18, F22. It's going to be a very small hole and lets in less light to your camera. Now, if you were going to be in that same scene, that same sunny scene, and change your aperture to, let's say, F4, going all the way on the other end, when you snap the photo, the aperture will close down hardly any. It's going to be a very large, wide opening. So basically, the smaller the number, the larger the hole that's in your camera lens when you take the photo. The larger the number, the smaller the hole is going to be. It's very tricky, but it you'll kind of get used to it as you start taking photos. So F4 a lower F number will basically let in more light to your camera. This is good again for those dim situations, those indoor situations maybe, or night situations or something like that. It'll let in more light to your camera. And again, all the photography is all about light, getting as much light in your camera to expose your scene properly. But aperture also affects your photos in another way, and this one's the hardest part for people to wrap their mind around, and that is called depth of field. So depth of field is basically how much of your scene is in focus, either behind or in front of your subject. So let's say you're taking a picture of a portrait of somebody, and you really want to have that really blurry background that you see a lot in those professional portraits. You really want to be able to get that very blurry background while also keeping your model in very, very sharp focus. The way you kind of do that is to set your aperture, and I'm talking really basic terms here. Set your aperture into a lower F number. So maybe do an F4, F5.6, somewhere around there. And what you'll do is focus in on your subject, and you'll see that the background is very, very blurry, very blown out, and just kind of milky looking at that soft bokeh is what that's really called. But you're also going to tell that in front of your subject is going to be kind of blurry as well. So this is good if you maybe are shooting a subject and the background is blurry, while also maybe you have some flowers or something in the foreground. Those might be blurry as well. But if you were to set your aperture to a higher f-stop number, so let's go jump up to 22 again. If you have those flowers in the foreground, your model in the middle, and your background again is, and you want that blurry, you're not going to get that same effect. Your background will still be maybe a little bit blurry, but nowhere near as much as if you did it with f4. You'll also probably find that in that example, those little flowers in the foreground, those are probably going to be more in focus as well. So really, when you're coming into basic terms like that, really, if you're shooting a lot of portraits or something and you really want that blurry background, you probably want to stick to a lower f-stop number. If you're shooting something like real estate, maybe landscapes or something like that, you kind of want that higher f-stop number, depending on what you're shooting, but you want a higher f-stop number to get more of the scene in focus. If you kind of, just kind of depending on what you want to achieve. Obviously, if you're shooting a landscape and you have this kind of, you want to focus in on maybe like a flower or something, obviously you probably don't want that scene to be all in focus. You really want to have that blurry background as well. So then you'll shift down to a lower f-stop number. But, and speaking in just in general terms, usually landscapes or something like along those lines are shot kind of in that really high f-stop number, really F16, F18, somewhere around there. And portraits are pretty much shot at a lower f-stop number to get that really blurry background. So now that I've talked about all of those different branches of the exposure triangle, let's go ahead and address the major question that we talked about in the very beginning. And that is how to get out of auto mode and get into manual mode in your camera. So what I would suggest you do, the kind of the easiest way to hack this little thing, is if you go out on a bright day, pick a really bright, sunny day. And I'm going to give you some settings to check your to set your camera to, and see if you can actually get a decent photo. So go out on a really bright sunny day and set your ISO to ISO 200. I'm just going to keep it at 200. I know you can probably go a little lower. And I did mention that if you're on a really bright day, 100 is probably all you need. But go ahead and set it to 200. Next, set your shutter speed to, let's say, 1/200th of a second. So 1/200th of a second. It's not too fast, not too slow. 1/200th of a second. And set your aperture. Let's say go to aperture f6 or so, somewhere around there, some f6, f7.1, somewhere around there. Set your aperture to those numerical values. Now go outside and take a photo. Make, obviously set your camera to a, you know, whatever you want to use, manual autofocus, and focus and take a picture. What you're probably going to see, depending on the situation, obviously, you're probably actually going to see an image. Now it's up to you to dial in that image. So let's say you go out and you set your camera to those values, and you go outside and you take a picture, and the image is really bright. You have a couple things that you can do. If you want to kind of take the image and knock it down and give it a little less brightness, you can do three things. You can take the ISO and bump it down to 100. That's going to make your camera less sensitive to light, and it'll cut your basically your light in half. So then take another photo. You're probably going to see that your photo is a little bit darker. You could also take the aperture, and you can bump the aperture up. So you can maybe go to f11 or something along those lines. You're going to see that your image is a little bit darker. You can actually increase your shutter speed, not decrease, increase your shutter speed to a faster shutter speed. That's going to let in less light to your camera, which will make your photo a little bit darker. If you were to set those values that I talked about in the beginning, if you were to set those values and your image actually turned out too dark, then what you probably need to do is set your ISO. You need to bump your ISO up to ISO 400. Let's try that and see if your image gets a little bit lighter. It will get a little bit lighter, but depending on how dark it was in the beginning, you might need to bump it up more. You could also decrease the f-stop number. You can decrease the actual number. So instead of, you know, 7.1 or something like that, you can go to f4. Some lenses actually might go down to f2.8, somewhere around there. Bump it down, basically. And what you're doing is allowing more light to come in and hit the sensor. You can also take the shutter speed, and you can decrease the shutter speed. So you can decrease it by half. And instead of being 200, you can go to 100, and that will let in more light. So you can see what I'm doing here. You're actually compensating for the amount of light coming into your image. So that is the kind of homework for those of you who might be having trouble in, kind of getting a scene to expose right in manual mode. And some people might go ahead and just stick with auto. They think auto is great. But when you start learning how to do all of these settings, you're going to be able to experiment more with your scenes. So, you know, you like I talked about, and I always talk about when it comes to shutter speed, that little waterfall example. You know, you might come to a cool little waterfall, and you want to get that really smooth, milky water look effect in your photo, but you don't know how to get it. You don't know how to achieve it. Yeah, you know, you might be able to set your shutter speed to a longer shutter speed, but then your image might be too bright, and you don't know how to compensate for that. So just playing around with those settings, playing around with trying to increase the brightness in your photo or decrease the brightness in your photo is a great way to just play around with that. If you want to learn more about the basics of photography, we actually have at Sleek Lens, we actually have a course that is meant all for beginners, and it's a beginner's course photography. We cover gear. We talk about the exposure triangle like we just talked about. We got a lot of different things when it comes to exposure modes, focus modes, stuff like that. We even have 5 videos that take you through different scenarios when it comes to landscape, real estate, food photography, travel, all kinds of stuff. It's a really cool course, and I really enjoyed making that one just because it was a really great way to kind of get that refresher when it comes to developing your photography. So thank you guys for joining me in this week's podcast. I enjoy everybody coming back and also rating, review the podcast. That really helps everything grow, and we really appreciate that. So thank you guys for joining me in this week's podcast. This has been Jordan from Sleek Lens, and I'll see you in the next one.